This message by John Robert Stevens was recorded in a church service and is titled, First We Love.
God is concerned about a relationship with Himself more than He is what you can produce for Him. And with all of the works, the dead works become such an abomination to the Lord. But living works are those things which out of a relationship to the Lord, there comes forth an expression of God in the earth, until we say like the prophet, O Lord, Thou hast wrought all Thy works in us or through us. It has come forth through us because of our closeness with the Lord. It tells us in the New Testament that the apostles after the ascension went forth, the Lord working with them as though there was a mutual flow together. But you cannot see that this was a thing being done through organization and promotion. It was something that was done because there was a relationship with the Lord. Do you see the difference? How many can understand the difference? How many have ever got so busy that you forgot to wait on the Lord and the next thing you found out that everything went sour for you? He's not glorified and you're giving your body to be burned or working yourself to death, is He? Right. We used to talk about, well, it's better to burn out than to rest out. And I think you begin to wonder anymore if that isn't still true. You know what I mean? If you've got to do something wrong, better to err in doing a lot the wrong way than to do nothing at all. The greatest failure in the world is the failure of the man that never tried. But we've tried and we've entered into things until now we say there's only one thing that's really essential in all of this that God is doing, and is that we be to God what He wants. Right. We be to the Lord Jesus Christ what He wants. And therefore, He can be and move through us. This is the important thing. I don't think God is just looking at all your activities. But didn't that come forth in the Song of Hannah? The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Boy, that's good. You see, He knows. He doesn't just see what you do and mark it down. Well, this fellow was a real fireball, and look at all of the things that he did. But he weighed the actions. He weighs the life to see what is in your spirit that you're giving to God. There are people who I think have a lot of rebellion in their heart, yet they have kind of a sense of responsibility or duty or this or that, and they go through the motions. But there's another thing of doing it with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength because you love the Lord so much. Well, it's about time we got to the text, don't you think? All right, you turn to the second chapter of Revelation and begin at verse 1. All right? How many have a feeling that you're going to be disturbed by this? Just an uneasy feeling that things are going to search your heart a little bit. How many think so? I think you're right. No. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2. This is going to be one of the shortest messages on record, the Lord helping me. And you sitting quiet. Because if you move, you make me nervous. When I get nervous, you know what happens. I just talk on and on and on. You know what the... So sit quiet and listen, all right? Now, chapter 2 of Revelation. I think you understand it better if you get the interpretation of the vision that opens up Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ moving through the seven lampstands and holding seven stars in His hand. And in verse 20, the last verse of chapter 1, he says, "And the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, The seven stars are the angels, angelos, or messengers of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Angelos is used for what we call angels, you know, coming and going, but it also is used as a word messenger also in the New Testament. So you do not necessarily talk about angels as you would commonly think, but you're talking about those messengers that were held in the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ as he moved among the lampstands. Now, notice how chapter 2 opens in the message to the church at Ephesus. The first of seven messages to the seven different churches in Asia Minor, okay? To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. Bringing it right into a present tense. This is what he's saying. And the reason that that tense of the verb is important is because a lot of the words that come to the different churches have such a living application to us right now. And you say, well, he said it, but he's still saying it. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those that call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. You have perseverance, and you have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Well, that leaves a lot of us behind. I got pretty tired of it. But I have this against you, that you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen. As though there are spiritual levels, but there's a level of love that pleases God. They said, you remember, if you fall from that place, remember when your heart was not bitter, was not overoccupied so much with all of your activities and your works and your labors and your warfare and coming against false apostles and all of the rest of that, that you left, you fell in that first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first. One translation said, act like you did at the beginning. Not as though it's now calling for more works, but it's calling for a restoration of relationship. I think God's interested in our doing the works of the Lord, but he's more interested in how you relate to him. How you relate to him. Now, do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. This church is called to repent. Well, I guess there's a little note of repentance in just about every one of these seven messages. It's a funny thing how God finds somebody that's doing the best, and he says, repent. Anything that falls short of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength has fallen short and disobeyed the first and the greatest commandment. God is interested in something more than you being someone who just loves his neighbor. You say, I'll settle for the second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love yourself even if you don't love the Lord first. You can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself, and you can't love yourself unless you love him first. I love my neighbor and I love God, but I think I'm nothing. Won't work that way. Do you believe that's true? It doesn't work that way. Because here's the thing, you say, I love God, but I don't think anything of myself. Then you don't have the faith and love in God either, because you're despising what he's done in you and what he says about you. You're going diametrically against everything that God says He has for your life and for you and making you His inheritance throughout eternity. And if you don't believe that, you're not believing what He says, and you don't love yourself. Did that hit anybody here? Boy, I've had more problem with that than anything, because I have a very low opinion of myself. And we're talking about it, this thing can go from self-condemnation on into 1,000 different aspects of being. But how many have the same thing? Do you? The first thing, if you want to make it, you begin to love God and you begin to believe what He says, believe what He's done, believe His provision for you, and believe that what you've claimed from Him is a valid, real thing in your life. And from that point, you begin to move forward. So how can I love my neighbor as myself? If I don't love myself, it's true, isn't it? I don't love myself after the flesh. It's not a Narcissus trip. You remember the story of Narcissus in Greek mythology. He looked and saw his reflection in the water, and did he drown himself or something?
Yeah, I think he fell in. He
drowned himself because he never saw anything so beautiful in his life as when he looked and saw his own reflection. Well, that's Narcissus, okay? We're not talking about that kind of self-love. We're talking about that which abhors the flesh and says, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But it also looks and say, we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. We're His poema. We're God's poem. He's creating something that is going to be the most beautiful expression. The artwork of God is going to come forth within my own bosom. God is making me His workmanship and creating me in Himself under the good works that He's before ordained from the ages past that I'm going to walk in them. Do you understand this? Can you say, I'm going to be free? I'm going to accept myself in the plan of God. I'm going to accept myself as the creative act of God. I'm going to accept myself that I am His workmanship, and He's begun the thing. He's the author of it, and He'll be the finisher of it. He's going to complete this thing that He's begun in me. And you'll cry in the Psalms like David, He will perfect that which concerneth me. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, put your hands on the top of your head and say, I accept this.
I accept this.
You believe it now?
Yes.
Amen. We open our heart to get a hold of this word. Yes. This is the end of self-condemnation.
Yes.
It does not justify the flesh. It does not admire in ourselves what God hates, but we do admire what God is doing.
Yes.
We thank You, Lord, for what You're bringing forth within us. If we stopped selling God short, we'd be far ahead in the game. Stop belittling what God's doing in you. What am I trying to say to you? Go back, love Him, worship Him, love Him like you did at the beginning, act like you did at first. That'll work in every kind of relationship. One of the quickest ways for a relationship to die is for a family to get into a routine. Grab a piece of toast and a cup of coffee and off to work and this and that and the other thing, and here we go, you know. What happens? Get to the place where you don't express the little kindnesses. Ask the old man and the old lady, how did you act when you first fell in love with each other? Oh, they said, we held hands a lot, gave flowers, did silly little things. We really loved each other. What are you doing now? Well, we sort of take each other for granted. That's a good way of having a heart of granite. Being so hardened. Flexibility in a relationship comes because you work at it. Express it. Now, you say, you're talking about works? Now, yes. Because love is an activity. Faith is an activity. Faith without works is dead. Faith without a corresponding action is dead. If faith isn't an activity, it remains just a quiet mental assent or an assumption. And the devils do that. The devils believe and tremble even because they believe the truth. If you have the truth, express it. If you have love, express it. If you have faith, express it. Do something with it. You have to express it. I think most of the offenses that come in the body relationship come to pass because people just don't take the time or make the effort to express their love and their oneness to each other. To be ignored is to have a heart that is fertile to all the lies of Satan. Don't do it. How many are getting a hold of this?
Yes.
You think it's true?
Yes.
Well, I wish I had a flower concession out here. I could sell dozens of roses on the way out. Don't you think so? All right. Go act like you did it first. Let's get some action in this thing. Because you see, what God is concerned about, it's not just to get into a routine of efficient activity that gets jobs done, but something that just reaches into God and expresses itself. There are people who make an effort to do that. Sometimes they do crazy things, but it isn't long before you realize here's something more coming that's just an expression of love. Whether they do the right thing or not doesn't make any difference. If you'd had an efficiency expert, he would have downed about everything that Jesus Christ did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in fact, you had a lot of gritching on the part of the disciples about it.
Right.
Judas comes along and says, what do you mean wasting all of this precious ointment? We could have taken this. We could have sold it. We could have fed a lot of the poor people with it. And not did he give a hoot about the poor that he was carrying the purse. There are people that have the same idea now. Just think about it. We could be far more efficient. Anybody who lavishes love upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the members of his body, I don't care whether it's efficient or not, God will bless it. God will bless it. He'll make that the greatest investment a man ever made in heaven and earth, that you invest in love.
Right.
An investment in love, an action of love. Act like you did. Worship him. Love him. And turn around and do something about it. We're trying to get things settled down, and now you're going to spook us again. No, I'm not. But how many have known that there's never been as great a degree of victory or as a greater blessing in your whole life, a greatest fellowship with the brethren, or as a great fellowship with the Lord, as when your heart was filled with worship and love, and you were busy with every ounce of energy you had to serve him, work for him. Those were the happy days. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Oh, I'm just as busy as I ever was. In fact, I'm a little more efficient than I used to be. But what about that love? What about that worship to the Lord? What about that relationship that you had to the Lord all those days? Is that still there? Well, I don't get to church as much as I used to. What do you? Well, I work long hours and different, so I don't go to church as much as I used to. Repent. You've got to face what's coming now. Has to have love with it. It's the only thing that we can serve God, but we must relate to him in a love. The things that are happening to all of us are sometimes like open heart surgery. But you can come into my heart and you can cut me to pieces. Just stay there and sew me up with love. Amen? Okay. But he said, do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place except you repent. God is not going to settle for actions. He's not going to settle for dead works. He's going to require that there be mingled together a life that is a love activity. It's a worship activity to God. You must have that relationship to the Lord. And I'm warning you, I've watched this for too many years. If you don't have that worship and love of the Lord, you find yourself drifting off. Something happens. You become an old wineskin. There's an inflexibility. You lose the vision. Something begins to happen. Your heart becomes a ground for confusion and bitterness and criticisms. Things begin to fester there. But oh, when the heart's filled with that love of the Lord and you're loving Him and you're worshiping, other things go out. The Word is so precious to you because you just feel like that you have, that that's really what this walk is. It's a love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go a little further and he said, yet this you do have, that you hate the deed of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And some said, who are the Nicolaitans? One researcher went so far as to say that Nicolaitus was really the one later called the Saint Nicholas. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes. Again, the promise of the overcomer comes to the churches again and again. Overcome what? Overcome that lethargic state where you have lost that first love, lost that zeal, lost that contact, lost that sweetness of walking with the Lord. And you overcome, I will grant you to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I love you, people.
We love you too.
And I think that this is the greatest time of fulfillment I've known in my life. I'm watching the sons come forth.
Yes.
I'm watching the maturity. I'm watching their love for each other. I'm watching with how carefully they reach in to their walk with the Lord. All the churches are witnessing this. All the brethren are witnessing it. It's a holy thing that's happening among us. Just remember that you'll never be left behind if you make your residence at His throne. You'll never find that you'll be a castaway if you love to worship Him, stand before His presence and love Him. If you lose that, remember what you've lost, and repent, go back and get into the love activity that's a part of this living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Did you feel in your heart there's something that you needed in this? How many felt this was not legalistic? But boy, I needed it. Did you feel? It wasn't legalism, but you need this. How many feel like I'm going to get back into the book? I think that you've got to do a number of things. You say, I got to get into the Word, so I'm going to listen to tapes. That's not enough. You can make tapes a ritual of religion. Well, I'm going to read the Bible. You can read the Bible and do the same thing with that. The thing is, Jesus said, you search the Scriptures. John 5, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You've got to come to the place where the Lord's speaking to you, whether it's a tape or whether you're reading the Scriptures directly or whether you're coming and hearing the prophecies that come, you're listening to the Lord. You have a relationship to the Lord that's going. Amen. But I'm going to encourage you, keep your affair going with the Lord, will you? Okay, keep it going. Open your heart to the Lord. That's really where you are. If you lose that, then you begin to wander somewhere outside in the mixed multitude. That's always the most dangerous place in the camp of the Lord to live. If we live any place, let's just live right in His presence. Right where the glory of God is, where the pillar of fire is. Let's be right there. Right there with Him. It is so easy. You say, well, how do I get it? First, remember how you fell. You generally fall by putting up walls to your brother. Because your walls to God are an unconscious act on your part. But your walls to each other are more of a conscious act. Don't shut anybody out. Open your heart. Can you say amen to it in your heart?
Amen.
Well, what's going to happen? I'm really going through it. Fine. Keep going through it. Keep going until you get through it. Build your heart to walk with God. A walk starts someplace and it ends someplace. But one thing it should be a continual activity and motion and a progression in His presence, loving Him and worshiping Him. Keep your eye on that goal. Amen.
This concludes the message, First We Love. If you would like additional information about the Living Word, please write to us at P.O. Box 958, North Hollywood, California, 91603, or visit our website at www.thelivingword.org.